まさに。Thank you. Well, it's good to be with you again and、to share God's word. I'm in a retirement village in、Canberra, and I have the joy of assisting in that ministry to elderly people. Of course, I'm only a spring chicken, really, but、anyway.It's a joy to continue to minister to God's people at whatever age they are. I'm going to read a few verses from, if you've got your Bibles, from John's Gospel chapter 7, John chapter 7, beginning at the verse 37. And we're in the lead up to Good Friday,and Easter, as、Mark has already said. And、this is an incident which occurred not very long before Good Friday.、so let me read this passage, verse 37, John chapter 7. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Well, people are still divided because of Jesus. We know it in Australia. We know it in Britain. Wherever we are, people are divided as to who Jesus is and what his character is. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles was the final feast of the year of the Jews, the feast of ingathering of the harvest. It went on for 7 days on the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. It also commemorated God's protection over his people in their journey from Egypt, slavery, to the promised land across that desert in order to come to the promised land in obedience to what God told them to do. It was celebrated with great pomp and joy and looked forward also to the coming day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the culminator of history, the day of judgment. It also looked forward to that. Day by day, the priests with golden pitchers of water from Siloam entered the temple by the water gate, as another party came with branches of willow from the Kidron Valley, waving willow branches. And as they entered the temple, a threefold blast on silver trumpets sounded out. Offerings of wine and water were poured out, and the Hallel, Psalm 118, was sung. Hallelujah was sung as the priests processed around the altar, and halfway through the feast, Jesus arrived. He was not there at the beginning. And he began to teach. He began to teach just like the rabbis, seated. Just an ordinary teaching session in the temple. But on the final day, the priests processed round 7 times round the temple. Rather like when, you remember the story of Jericho, and the fall of Jericho, they went around 7 times. 7, of course, the number of perfection. So on the last day, at the climax of this feast, an extraordinary thing happened. An authoritative voice rang out, not seated like the teaching rabbis, but standing. Jesus stood, as we read in that verse, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him." John, the writer of the Gospel, comments, "By this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been yet glorified." We read that in verse 39. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. So how is Jesus to be glorified? Any idea? Well, just at the end, when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, before going to the cross, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Jesus was to be glorified by the most ignominious thing that happened to anybody. He was going to die on the cross. God's Son, Son of God, Son of Man, was to die on the cross for you and for me, for the world. That's how he was to be glorified. That's why we call it Good Friday, not Bad Friday, because Good Friday, because it's good for all mankind, if only they would realize it. By dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and then rising triumphant on the third day, and then after 40 days, ascending to heaven to receive the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit had not yet been given, had he? Because God had not yet been glorified. He still had to die on the cross and then rise triumphant over death. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, fulfilling the prophecy of Joel chapter 2, which said, "It shall come to pass, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, that your sons and daughters may prophesy, your old men shall discern dreams, draw dreams, your young men shall see visions, and even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." You know, in some places there is a great deal of persecution of Christians today. And one of the volunteers, or one of the helpers in the retirement village where I work, he was from India. And they were listening to songs of praise on the TV. And suddenly this man said, "I have seen him." They said, "What, you've seen who?" "I have seen Jesus. In India, I had a dream. I saw Jesus. And Jesus came to me, and that's how I became a Christian. And I was persecuted. because I went from darkness to light, from Hinduism. I'm not quite sure what his background was, but he yielded his heart to Christ as a result of that dream. And Muslims are having dreams and visions today. And so I'll just make that point to remind us that God is not inhibited by man's machinations. So up to this point, Jesus had been sitting like the rabbis teaching in the temple. But on this occasion, the final day of the feast, Jesus stood and proclaimed in a loud voice, "If any man is thirsty, let him come unto," not the church, "let him come unto me and drink." A personal relationship with the living Saviour. It was a proclamation of messianic authority. At a significant moment, the last and greatest day of the feast. Now let's just look at a few more details about this passage of scripture so that you may recall it and remember it. "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, commits his or her life to me, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water." There's an interesting word used there in the Greek, because the word used actually means an empty space. The sad thing is, in our world today, many people have an empty space. They're trying in their own strength to do this, that, and the other. There is an empty space in that innermost being which is mentioned at this point. Koilia, an empty space, shall flow streams of living water. A complete transformation from emptiness to fullness and overflowing. Not a trickle, but a flow, streams of living water. Believing in Jesus is synonymous to being born of the Spirit. A new birth of the Spirit of God, indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. As Mark reminded us at the beginning, God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And now Jesus is offering a complete transformation, new life, revival to all who are thirsty, who come to Jesus just as they are. As the old hymn says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." So let me ask you this morning, are you thirsty? Are you empty inside? Is there an empty space there? So easily the world, the flesh, and the devil fill up that space, don't they? We are tempted, and we slip into temptation. For God's plan and purpose for your life and my life is to be his servant, is to be a child of God, to be adopted into his family, whatever our background is, whether black or white or yellow, or our hearts inside are the same, aren't they? And there is an empty space, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, wants to occupy that empty space. When the people heard these words, some said, "This is the prophet foretold by Moses that a prophet would come like him." Others said, "This is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah." Yet others doubted. Let me tell you a story in conclusion as I draw this message to a close. Michael Lawerica, I'm not very good at pronouncing it, it's an African name, from the Samburu tribe of central Kenya. And he came to know Jesus in his heart and life as a youngster. He got a scholarship to do training at a Bible college. While doing his Bible training, he was concerned for the village from which he had come. And so he made a study about that village back in Africa. I'm not quite sure where the Bible college was that he studied. And he found that women had to trek 8 kilometers on foot to get water, to live, to drink, to wash. Many places in Africa and other places, there is drought, there is a water shortage, and so women were having to go on foot 8 kilometers in order to get water. But the water was frequently dirty, polluted, contaminated, resulting from sickness, disease, and death. After his Bible training, Michael returned to take up a position in his country of Kenya. Not content with having studied the Bible, he started a new company. And the company was called Indigenous Sustainable Community Ministries, to benefit his Samburu tribe with their being deprived of so much, including the very water to drink. So he returned to take up a position in his country, but not content with that, he led his people out of poverty, sickness, and disease. And as a result, he also led the Samburu people to Jesus. And so his faith was matched with action. Now that should be true of every one of us. If we have come to know Jesus as our Savior, if that empty space has been filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, God has a purpose for you, God has a purpose for me. For me, you say, oh well, you're retired, you can just sit back. But there's no retirement in the Bible from being a witness for Jesus Christ. What is God's plan for you? Whatever your age is, there are always things to be done. He led his people out of poverty, sickness, and disease as a result of his learning the Bible and learning to trust in Jesus as his Savior. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, out of his innermost being, out of that empty space, now filled with the Spirit of God, shall flow rivers of living water. I ask myself, as I challenge you, have you the reality of the assurance of Jesus Christ in your life? If so, is it outflowing to others in service, in witness? That is the challenge for every one of us, whether Australia or Britain or wherever else it may be. What is your vision for your people, where you live, where you study, where you work? Michael Dolrenikoi was a humble man, but he never forgot his lowly origin, and as so, I want to challenge you as we look forward to Good Friday and what Jesus did for you and for me, that we might be forgiven, that our sins might be washed away, but he also rose triumphant on Easter Day, triumphant over death, triumphant over the sin, in order to give us the strength in order to walk with him. When I was in India as a pastor, We had two Muslim converts who helped us in our youth ministry. I still pray for those, for the country of those people from Iran. The Lord is working in Iran in spite of persecution and imprisonment. I've got a photo here of Fashid. He was a Muslim, but he gave his heart to Christ. And because of his witness of a home church, he was imprisoned. And he served a 6-year, he had a wife and 2 young children. But he was in prison for no other reason but the fact that he loved Jesus and was a witness to him. He's now been released, but he's a marked man in that country of Iran, where to have a Bible or to have the scriptures, there's no Bible society there. And yet the scriptures are coming in through the radio, through the internet, and people are being converted. And it's happening in Middle East countries and all over the world, where the gospel is faithfully preached and where we share it with others. So that's the challenge I want to leave with you. And it's been a special joy to be with you. And we might just have a word of prayer before I hand over to Mark. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink, so that our innermost being, possessed by the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, God may be glorified. We might be his witnesses reaching out wherever he leads us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll sing our last hymn, number 450, in Christian hymns, number 450 in Christian hymns. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. It seems very appropriate in light of what we've heard. Right, could somebody pop down, just ask Faith. Yes.
And that is, in order that empty space to be filled, there needs to be repentance. We
yes.
need to turn from, and we need to turn to.
Yes.
From self, into opening our hearts.
Thank you.
Jesus, and that needs a radical
change. Thank you.
It happened to me as a teenager.
Yes.
When I backslid.
Yes.
And then they had the wake up call later.
Thank you. I hope everyone heard that. It's Jay's concerns that we don't just think that we come and drink without having to change, that it's in repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that we drink. And that's so important, isn't it? Because it's in another place, the verse that the children read talks about that living water springing up to eternal life. The reality is that without Jesus, without that living water, it's not going to be oblivion. We will be judged and condemned for our sin in hell. This living water rescues us from hell. It really is living water. It's life-giving water. It saves us. We all need it. And we don't drink it like a glass of water. We believe it. and it becomes like living water to us. And it is living water in the spiritual sense. So if you've not drunk before, it's free. You don't have to pay for it with your good works. You could never pay for it because it's been paid for by Jesus, dying on the cross. Thank you. That's a very useful way of using those few minutes. Pop, yeah. Are we there? Thank you. So, number 450. Just a more volume. In prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that Jesus saves. We thank thee that Jesus saves in England, in Africa, in India, and all over the world. When a man or a woman or a child turns from his sin and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. For anyone here who hasn't done that, we pray that that person would know the conviction of thy Holy Spirit and would turn from his or her sin today and trust in the Lord Jesus and know the transformation from condemnation to hell to the inheritance of sons and daughters of God in heaven for all eternity. We pray, Lord, that that good news would come afresh to each one of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Do please join us for lunch, which will probably be in about half an hour or so. And then this evening, our brother Ken will be bringing the word. Thank you.